So let's start the scripture marathon, okay? Are you with me on this? The scripture marathon starts with, on who says that God is good and God is love, with scripture number one, Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's our starting point. We're going to get through to something being fact because we believe that the Bible is scripture, is God-breathed. And that's the basis of our fact. We can come up with faith, but if we're going to look at it as fact in our life, then we've got to get hold of the idea that when we look at scriptures, this is God's word speaking to our heart. That's my starting point for who says. Who says? The Bible says. And in it, we discover more. So, in the Old Testament, first of all, we have Genesis 1:26. This is just a little bit of a tangent. Then God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And verse 31 says, God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. So what am I trying to say here is, God made us in his image, and he was good, and because he said that we were good, therefore God has to be good, because we were made in his own image. Don't dwell on that too much, I think I'm stretching your point. But, God made us in his image, and he looked at us and he thought it was good. So we're reflecting back his goodness. And in the Old Testament, sometimes we think that God appears as a very angry God, and there's all sorts of fightings and going on. And people often look at the Old Testament and think, well, where was God's love in the Old Testament? But you pick up right from the word go that God's love was what he wanted people to major on. And when he appeared to Moses, we get this. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and he stood there with him and proclaimed his name to the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, so this is God saying about himself. Who says? God says. This is what the front of Moses, and this is what God said, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. But it's the first part I really want to major on. This is what God said of himself. This is what God is like. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And Moses got hold of this idea that God loved him and that God was about love. And if we look further on, when the Israelites have blown it, like they blew it an awful lot, Moses actually hones into the fact that God is love. And this is what he pleads on the behalf, he intercedes on behalf of the Israelites, and he said, look, God, he was saying to God, look, now the Lord's strength made his place, just as you have declared, just as you said, God, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation. But in accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. Moses had really grasps this idea that God was about love. And he pushes it back at him when he's interceding. And he said, look, God, I know that you're a love, and in accordance with your love, will you forgive these people? And God did. And in Deuteronomy, Moses again said, and I'm just going to pick out, he's talking to again, because he loved your forefathers, he was speaking to the Israelites, and chose the descendants after them, he brought you out of Jesus, out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength. Because he loved your forefathers. So get no problem whatsoever. Moses knew absolutely that God was about love. And he did what he did because of love. And if we move on to the other players in the Old Testament, we know, we can see that David understood that God was about love. If we look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 24, David was after he'd lost his son, in a not a very good place. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And David was a man who the Lord loved because he was a man, it says, a man after his own heart. There was a definite understanding of God's love in that relationship. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out, this is God speaking to Saul through a prophet. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people. So the God and David's relationship was one based on love. And you can see that absolutely in the Psalms, over and over and over again. In the Psalms, which were written by David and people around him, we see words of love being rejoiced over. And it's the steadfast love in the Psalms. It's the loving kindness, and it comes up over and over again. And after a big victory, David says of this to God, I love you, Lord, O Lord, my strength. David's relationship with God was one of love. And he knew that God was about love. And again, just an example of another psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that comes up over and over again. The Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And so up to this point, we've got a real understanding through Moses and David that they understand that God is about love. But it tends to just start to just lessen as we get a bit further and further away. And what we seem to get a feeling of is God's wrath and God's judgment, and people, this holiness comes in, and people seem to just lose track a little bit of this foundation of the faith, that their God that they believe in is a God of love. And so you only get little glimpses of it as you move on through the Old Testament. And we get a glimpse in Zephaniah with this lovely, lovely verse. The Lord, this is what Zephaniah says of the Lord. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quieten you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And this idea of God's loving people is coming through. But it's just a glimpse. In Micah 6:6-8, we say this. This is Micah the prophet speaking. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And Micah is getting the people to really revert back to this place where it's not the sin offerings, it's not about pleasing God, it's just to love what God loves, which is justice and mercy, and to walk with him humbly. And that's kind of just reinforcing this idea of this God is love and God is good relationship with us. And in Isaiah, finally, in the Old Testament, Isaiah starts to look towards Jesus. And again, it's because of love that we get Jesus. And in love, a throne, this is Isaiah 16 verse 5, in love a throne will be established, in faithfulness a man will sit on it, one from the house of David, one who is judging, in judging seeks justice and speeds the course of righteousness, the cause of righteousness. In love. So this is Isaiah projecting through to Jesus and saying, look, don't forget about God and love. And in love, a throne will be. God will act, but out of acting, he will be acting out of love. Not out of anything else, but love. Okay, so that's the Old Testament done, and we're going to move on to the New Testament, which is a lot easier to see love. So let's hold on to this fact that God is good and God is love. And let's have a look at some scriptures in the New Testament. And obviously, this is just such a whistle-stop story. It's not exclusive, but I'm just giving you a flavour of what we've got. So let's just move on, and it won't be long. So the love in the Old Testament is brought right back in front of our eyes because of Jesus. And what Jesus was lived out, that love and that God is good. And very quickly, we see in John's Gospel especially, and John was somebody who really understood that what we have is the result of God's love for us and his goodness. So we've got the big scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, it was out of love that he gave us Jesus. And we see the Trinity love quite quickly on in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus being baptized, the voice from heaven was saying, this is my Son, my beloved Son, who I love. So we know that there is a love relationship going on with the Father and his Son. And again at the Transfiguration, a voice from the cloud says, this is my Son, whom I love, listen to him. It's a relationship of love. And in John 17 verse 23, Jesus invites us into that relationship. And he was praying for the all believers at this point. And he's saying, he prays for them. I think I've just cut a scripture off here, but come with me on it. He's talking, he's praying to God, and he says, I am in them and you are in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me. You've gone. Right, okay, shall we start again? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. So the relationship that Jesus brings us to in the Father is a love relationship, a good relationship. And if we look at Jesus in his life, he lived out God's love to us. And if you go back to the scripture in Exodus, and then you think of Jesus, he was the God that was compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. So the Jesus that we see and acting out in his compassionate works was the same God as in the Old Testament that was compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And if you're any doubt that Jesus thought the Father was good, just listen to him in Luke 18, when he answered, somebody spoke to him. We've got Luke 18, he said, and a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit the earth?" And Jesus slapped him back, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." So who says that God is good? Jesus says that God is good. Who says that God is love? Jesus acts out that God is love. And he is very clear that the love relationship that exists between him and the Father is for us as well. And the disciples picked up on that. And the big, big disciple who picked up on Jesus' goodness and love was John. He was a witness, and he's very, very keen to say that he knows about God's, Jesus' love. He got the love relationship. If we go just quickly now, and we'll move through these. John was saying, this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And John was saying, look, we were witnesses. Therefore, we have got the right to tell you, the right to say that God is love is fact. We've seen it. And we saw that God is light. God is good in that sense. There's no evil in him at all. And the next scripture. And you're saying, if you walk in darkness, we don't live by the truth. Okay, next one. Okay, just hold that one a second. We've just got a mix of... I just wonder, 1 John 1, verse 7 to 10, talks about God is love, and God loved us first. And he was very, very clear about that. And if we live in Jesus, and we live in a love relationship, because God is love, John really understood that. So, I've just not... got that scripture up, but that's where I was coming from, that God is love and he loved us first, and that's where it comes from. Moving on to Paul, he is another guy who was a witness to Jesus, and this is what he says about love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then he goes and says that love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. Paul really, really understood the fact that with God it was all about love, as did John. And as we come to communion now, we're going to look at the greatest act of love that there was. And we're just going to sit. We've revisited it. We've refreshed the fact that God of the New Testament is a God about love. And he wants us in a relationship of love. And those scriptures are there, and it's fact, and it's total, and it's clear. God is love, and he wants us to be with him in that love. And he gave Jesus so that we could enter into that place of love. So the scripture I want to pick before we start communion, John 15, verse 9 to 13. As the Father has loved me, so this is us as we're going into communion. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's the love of God for his people. The love of Jesus for his people. We remember his death and resurrection and the way that's opened through to the Father so that we can come into a love relationship with God.